Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. There's lots happening in Toronto this weekend at the Toronto Palestine Film Festival. You can watch films and docs, go to concerts, art exhibitions, a brunch, workshops, and discussions all weekend long, both online and at the Lightbox. And the Toronto Garlic Festival is on this Sunday on Spadina Road with food, drinks, a garlic market, and culture too, including me. I'll be giving a talk on garlic and the movies at 12 o'clock noon with free admission. Hope you show up. But today I'm talking about two new family-friendly movies that were featured at TIFF this year. They're monster drawings that come to life, and a robot stranded on an island that can talk to the animals. I see The Wild Robot, co-written and directed by Chris Sanders. It's a small island in North America sometime in the future. ROSM Unit 7134, featuring the voice of Lupita Nyong'o, is a robot. She was built for family consumers, the product of a multinational corporation. Powered by AI, she speaks and understands multiple languages and is made to serve. Somehow, her box has washed ashore on this island, but the expected suburban home is nowhere to be seen. This place is uninhabited by humans, that is, but it's teeming with wildlife. Deer and moose, bear and fox, raccoons, porcupines, skunks, beavers, possums, and all types of birds, insects, and aquatic life. She sees animals ruthlessly killing and eating each other as part of their daily lives. She gazes at them all in wonder, but they regard her with caution. She has no smell, can't be eaten, but isn't a predator either. What good is she? But for the robot, it's imperative she complete her assignment, any assignment. So she studies all the animals and learns to speak their languages. And when she rescues a newly hatched gosling, played by Kit Connor, from a sly fox, voiced by Pedro Pascal, she has finally found her purpose in life to take care of this newborn bird. "You can call me Roz," she says, but the bird, who bonds with her the second he opens his eyes, would rather call her Mama. So Roz, the little bird, and the somewhat untrustworthy fox form a makeshift family, teaching the bird the facts of life as he grows up. Can they get him to swim and fly before the great migration south for the winter? Okay, The Wild Robot is an amazingly moving animated film about nature and technology forming deep bonds of their own with humans nowhere to be seen. But the villains, are all man-made. This is a thoroughly well-put-together movie, from the quirky characters to the funny surprises to the heart-stopping scenes of suspense. It's a genuine tearjerker, but with characters that are just lovable enough to care for without making you cringe. Roz is a white enamel ball whose accordion arms can spring out and come back, and whose head has all these neat slots for add-on devices. Her whole body glows in different colors along the seams. I love the art direction. Down to the 1950s woodsy summer camp font they use for the title. Based on a novel of the same name, it also borrows from classic kids literature like The Ugly Duckling, Jungle Book, and Dr. Dolittle, but it still feels completely original, organic. It also features additional voices by Ving Rhames, Mark Hamill, and Catherine O'Hara, to name just a few. I recommend this movie for people of all ages and most robots and animals, too. Sketch, co-written and directed by Chris Sanders. It's a small town somewhere in the U.S. Taylor Wyatt, played by Tony Hale, lives with his two preteen kids, Amber, played by Bianca Bell, and Jack, played by Q Lawrence, in a lovely home backing onto a small forest. They've all been down in the dumps since their mom died, so Taylor has gone out of his way to hide all pictures of her to help the family get through this difficult period. And now he's trying to sell the house too, with the help of his sister Liz, played by Darcy Carden, a real estate agent. Maybe that will wipe the emotional slate clean, but it's not working, as becomes clear when Taylor is called into the kid's school to talk to the principal. Little Amber is accused of plotting to murder a classmate, and they have a drawing she made to prove it. Luckily, the sensible guidance counselor manages to defuse the situation right away. Amber's angry, right? So she gives her a sketchbook where she can draw away all her frustrations however she likes. The book is hers to keep, and she doesn't have to show it to anyone else. Better to draw it than to do it, right? Meanwhile, her brother Jack spends lots of his time in the woods where he's discovered a small pond that seems to have curative powers. It heals a cut on his hand and fixes a family heirloom he broke. Maybe if he dumps a box of his mom's ashes into the water, it'll bring her back to life, right? But Amber finds out, and this leads to a big fight in the woods, followed by Amber's sketchbook falling into the pond. And that's when all hell breaks loose. The scary monster she drew with crayon and glitter start coming to life. Sketch is a delightful adventure drama about two kids trying to stop gigantic imaginary creatures who have come to life from destroying the town and killing all the people. It's cute, it's fun, and it's a little bit scary. It's also a pinch psychological and moralistic, but not enough to drag it down. Movies like this used to be fairly common, but nowadays it's almost rare to find a movie like this that isn't tied to a game, a toy, a Disney princess, or a Marvel superhero. They're not selling anything here. It's just a movie. And the special effects monsters are really cool. What other movie can get you a 30-foot-tall creature wreaking havoc in a cornfield that is clearly made of crayon scribbles? Amazing. In his first feature, director Chris Sanders has created a good, fun, standalone movie that kids will love and parents can enjoy. Sketch and The Wild Robot both premiered at TIFF, with Wild Robot opening this weekend in Toronto. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.